As an appetite. It occurs to me that I have an appetite. I am constantly swallowing. I have an appetite for air. Insatiable. For you see, the moment it enters my body, it becomes breath, no longer air. And when air turns to breath on the other side of my skin, I sometimes don't know what to do but follow right to the center of my being. Where I am no longer I. The electric eye of the storm that surrounds me. I enter my own body, and there I might find warmth, or perhaps a clear, cold spring. I may try to lie down for a nap beside it or inside it, but my breath keeps me following. Not always straight lines. No direct route. It's like a kind of mapping, a way of seeing a world, tangle of thread falling to the ground. It's like a kind of mapping, a way of seeing, but on this map there are also sounds, textures, contours, little choreographies. Bells clanging, ringing against masts of ships. Boats rocking ceaselessly in the water. Blue-green, rippled, that is, blue-green. Geese flying overhead. Boats rocking ceaselessly in the blue-green, rippled water. Geese flying overhead in the darkening sky. Horses galloping across vast plains where legions have fallen to flames. Surges of electricity, flashes of heat, and then it happens! I nod for just a moment. And then I quickly recover. For you see, I have developed a system for coming back to life. If indeed I am dying. Now the system has to do with listening very carefully. And it is in this way that I am restored. I'm out for just a moment. And then I quickly recover. Without any help from anyone, I return from this sudden death, drifting. Pulled back, lulled back, through waves and waves and waves. an ocean of sonic vibration. It is in this way that I am restored. It's like a kind of mapping, a way of seeing, or shall I say, listening to the world, a tangle of notes on a page, bells clanging, geese squawking and flapping in the darkening sky overhead, the moonflower whispers itself. Even in a crowd, I might slip through, just drop right over to the other side, slip right over the edge, and in that moment, I hear an entire concert burning in my breast.
Get burned while merry-go-rounding with you. But I go for my ride with my eyes open wide. I'm playing with fire, I know, but what can I do?
I walk away, but I turn back just for a look, and I see right there, in the place where I've just lain, there, hovering above the sight, barely perceptible vibrations in the air. I have an appetite for air, insatiable. Each time I fall, it feels like and somewhere in the midst of this gap, was schooled in a time when dust and rock were the landscape, where feet scuffled, knees got skinned, and the pain of the heart was a drop of blood hitting the dirt. But I don't fall and scrape my knees anymore, or knock up against door jams in the middle of the night, half awake, but still searching like a mole to find the space where my body fits, safely, relatively unharmed. I'm searching. I'm searching. Listening, but persistent signals inside of me don't necessarily navigate that well in the outside world.
Wake up!
The voice whispered. But it was too late. I was already battered and worn. The pain had long since gone private. I had grown accustomed to the abuse. And so you must believe me when I tell you that sometimes I ache. Sometimes I ache to be locked inside the armoire for a long time, for such a frighteningly long time that I have to piss, and that I piss all over myself, all over the pretty silk things folded underneath my feet. I piss down my legs and onto my feet. And I am standing up, locked up, pissing with the freedom of a man.
Emergency! This must be an emergency. I must wait for the doctor. But I don't want to wait for the doctor anymore. But I want to be well. And then the doctor comes. Not in me. Anyone can piss in an ocean. And I'm still hurting in waves. And these waves are getting bigger. And I say, look! Look! Look under the surface of the ocean. And then the doctor, or was it the second doctor, put his or her hand into me. And there was a wave that shipwrecked, but I wasn't shipwrecked. Sex, you bring out my emotions. So I couldn't help but scream, even though I am in public, in an emergency theater ward. Something realized, I was very sick. I wasn't innocent anymore. They say suffering changes a person. What I hope is that that's not the only thing that changes a person. Doctor, there are many men watching me right now. Boys and girls, too. Turning to the sex show audience, her right leg dangling over the stage, doctors' voices speak. You're totally mad! Whatever your name is.
Do you know what I'm doing right now? You can't see my right hand, can you? That's 'cause it's hidden, where it's the warmest. No, the second warmest. In just a mass of oozing, squishing flesh. Stroking. You can't know what I'm feeling, can you? I'm flesh. Tremors. Here. No. Tremors here. Little bitty tremors like the dashes typewriters can make. Straight line shivers. Oh, where's this hand going? Up a calf. Oh, no. Oh, do it to me. It's an animal that has to get to its home. You're all animals that have to get to your home. Sniffing. I love it in here. I can be here, and you can't. Doctor, there are still many people watching me right now. You're watching me, aren't you? Sexuality is sort of an artwork. Don't you agree, Doctor? I need lots of attention, Doctor. This is the vortex of force. We've got to keep her from drowning in her own shit. Yes, Doctor, or else she'll be shitting out little gods before long. Nurse, this looks like a case of disjecta membra, if I've ever seen one. Which, of course, was only once. Does the body really tear itself apart? In my limited experience, it seemed as if the words, her speech, were virtually torn out of the circuit of the body. In a word, she became alien unto herself, with a stranger's tongue. Disjecta membra, the body torn apart. It was in the rainforest, south of the Parana River. She was tormented, and the patient believed that she was penetrated by way of her mouth. She eventually developed eater's block. She received souls, or parts of souls in her mouth via food. Vocal cannibalism. She was tormented somewhere in the depths of her stomach. These voices resided somewhere in her body. Speaking bird souls. Yes, Doctor, I believe you are the amateur ornithologist on this wing. She was tormented. And yet, she felt as if she heard her own voice coming to her from somewhere, and that gave her a certain comfort. Was there nothing you could do? My hands were tied. I might have been invisible. My presence was such a discomfort to the indigenous peoples of the region. There were boundaries, doubts, and a great deal of uncertainty from all sides. Chimera was in our midst. We had only to watch for signs. The visible body produces the voice of the body of the invisible. Can you repeat that? Yes, I couldn't agree more. The mouth is definitely at the center of the struggle here, and this body is most uncertainly in the act of becoming.